Welcome to another political podcast from BowlersDesk.com with me, Matt Bowler, and San Diego's political professor, Rick Epps. Rick Epps and I sat down with Kevin Faulkner at his campaign headquarters. Faulkner, like someone who falcons. That's the etymology of his name. You know, while Kevin is a Republican, he's the official Republican candidate, he wants to be seen as the moderate Republican, the guy that can reach across the aisle and work with San Diego's Democratic majority, City Council. We were able to touch on a lot of things in our half an hour with him. We asked him a bunch of stuff. How are you going to help San Diego's middle class? What does it take to get our economy back on track? And how has your record helped or hurt you? And a lot more. So you be the judge. Remember, if you want to jump on your political soapbox, you can do that by jumping on ours. Call the BowlersDesk.com political podcast soapbox and leave a message. 619-663-4531. 619-663-4531. And remember to listen, share, and tweet. Retweet. Feel free to forward this along. Political podcast, BowlersDesk.com. Kevin Faulkner. Enjoy. About running a campaign this year, kind of the questions we're asking everybody.
Yeah.
How do you run? I mean, you're known within your district, right?
Yeah.
But you're kind of known outside of San Diego because of your role in the city council. But you're not like a player like regionally in the same sense. You know what I mean? You really have to get your name out there, and you're relying a lot more on your volunteers. Alvarez kind of is similar in that sense. Kind of has that underdogish kind of thing. You know. So you guys kind of share that in a lot of ways,
yeah.
I think. So how do you do that? How do you get your name out there and get your message across quickly?
It is a sprint campaign. There's no doubt about it. The analogy that I've been using is we're building the airplane as it's taking off down the runway. There's limited time. But you know, we're here today at the campaign HQ, and as you can see, we're getting ready for a big neighborhood walk, and we're going to have over 100 people here today. And it's all about getting the message out, going door to door, you know, old-fashioned phone banking. I've got a lot of technology fun stuff as well. But there's just no substitute for personal communication, particularly in a race like this where it's a special election. It's the only issue that's on the ballot. And so people want to hear from other people that they know and they trust. But Kevin Faulkner is the right guy for the job. And so we're putting a lot of emphasis on that direct personal communication.
What is your message? I'm not trying to corner you in that. Yeah. What is your big message?
No, it's about, you know, the guy who's going to finish the job of making the reforms at City Hall that make sure that we have dollars to reinvest in our neighborhoods. I mean, we've come so far. When you look back to when I was first elected, back on Enron by the Sea, under investigation, all of these, you know, pension system absolutely out of control. We've made a lot of tough decisions, and we've come very far. My message is we can't afford to go backward. We have to finish the job, and that's one of the biggest things that separates me from my opponents in this race is I have the experience making those tough decisions that have helped turn San Diego around, and you can trust me to continue that and to make sure that we do that so we have dollars that we can put back into our streets, our parks, our libraries. If you don't have a mayor that understands how important it is to stay that course, we're not going to have the dollars to do what we need.
Channel 10, the poll that they just had you kind of going across the board up until you hit the 55 and older mark, and then you definitely seem to peak up there and hit those voters a little bit more than the rest of the people. Whereas Nathan was down low in the younger voters and down low in the older voters, but in that 35 to 55 range, he was up higher than the other sort of three legitimate candidates. So how are you focusing on those voters more, or are you? How do you communicate that message to a little bit of a younger, kind of newer San Diego? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. As you can see here today at the HQ, most of our volunteers, I would say, are 80% of them are, you know, under 25. We have a lot of young folks out here today. You know, it's a balance because we know that in a special election like this, you're going to have a lot of people that come out to vote tend to skew a little bit older. But at the same time, as somebody who's been on the council for a little bit, understanding that for our future, you have to be able to communicate to a whole new generation of San Diegans, and we're urging them to get involved in politics. My wife and I, Catherine, just announced, and we feel very strongly about this. We announced just yesterday that we're doing a contest. Anybody 25 years or older, we're encouraging them to put together a campaign video, a positive video about our message. We're going to have a panel that will select the winning entry, and then we're going to put it on the air. Our campaign is actually going to pay to put it on the air. And so we're saying, you know, particularly, you know, when you look at the last month with the government shutdown, and people have every reason to be, you know, distrustful of just politics in general. But our message is, look, you know, as a guy who's raising his family here, I have two young kids, we need people to get involved. And so we're going to encourage it as much as we can. And I think our campaign video contest is going to be pretty cool.
So the shutdown seemed to primarily hurt Republicans nationally. Do you think you are going to suffer some blowback from that locally?
You know, I think it cut across everywhere. I mean, I think there was just a genuine distrust. Why can't government get it together? When I look at here at San Diego, I think one of the things that is one of my strengths is I'm known as a guy that works together, you know, across party aisles. And so it's all about getting solutions. It's not about rhetoric or fighting. It's about let's get things done. And so when I look at, you know, the work I've done with my friend and colleague Todd Gloria that got Bob Filner's resignation, we worked together to get that done. When I looked at, you know, some of the issues that I'm most proud of, Mission Bay Park Initiative several years ago, I worked with my colleague Donna Fry to get that done. You have to, you know, it's not about, particularly when you're mayor, and it's not about being Republican, Democrat, Independent. It's about what's best for the city. That's the way you win, and that's also the way that you actually do the job.
You know, it's interesting because I've been about 25 years. Like you, I agree. There's a lot of toxicity in the system.
Yeah.
Particularly being a Republican, and you know, and Matt sort of alluded to it a little bit, but in terms of, you know, controlling the message so that people on the other side of the aisle, that Democrats and those who are independents, that your message can resonate with them. How do you create an image or create that message so they know that no matter what, unfortunately, how they see Republicans right now, how do you translate your message so that they can connect with you as well?
It's a message that people know who I am, and they can trust me to keep doing the job that I've already done. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at the experience, you know, when we look at the issues that we've been dealing with at the city over the last several years, you know, the need to have pension reform. You know, I stood up, and that was an issue that cut across all demographic lines. People understood that we needed to make changes, or our city was going over a fiscal, you know, it's going over a cliff, headed towards bankruptcy. When I looked at the issue of bringing competition in for city services from the private sector to have that bidding occur, that was wildly popular across all demographics as well. Yeah. It's common sense. Yeah. I think when you talk in common sense terms, when you talk about that says, you know, the business of what we're doing at the city is to provide services for the neighborhood, and you need a mayor that understands that and is going to do that. And then that's one of the reasons that I think I've been successful on the council for a number of years, and that's what I think gives me a leg up running for mayor.
So I look downtown, and I see a lot of the new construction going up, and it's either super high-end buildings or there's a few low-income. Seems like the middle class is getting squeezed out in a lot of aspects, just within San Diego proper, not just downtown, but all over San Diego. You look at the new development in Mission Valley, and that's all high-end condo townhomes or high-end rentals, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a month for a two-bedroom. What do you do to help people that fall between that, you know, at that AMI of like $60,000 a year, $70,000 a year for a family of four? How do they kind of get an opportunity to buy into San Diego these days?
You know, it's great question. It's all about creating jobs. It's all about creating economic opportunity. And I just released my jobs plan earlier this week and got a lot of great support on that. It's, you know, it's about investing in the competitive advantage that we have in San Diego with some of our key areas now, the tourism economy, our high-tech economy. The military means huge to the San Diego. I'm gonna fight for those jobs. I mean, just recent example, I stood up this last week for our ship repair industry when that was threatened by one of the new planning efforts. We have to protect these good, high-quality jobs. And so as a mayor, I understand that one of the people need to know that San Diego is open for business. And when we look at what, you know, happened with our former mayor, Bob Filner, who was fighting, you know, against the tourism industry for all the wrong reasons, just didn't understand that, you know, that's how we generate revenue. When people come and stay in our hotels, that means we have the hotel taxes that we can put back into our streets, our parks, you know, our rec centers. And so I'm going to be somebody that fights very strongly. People understand that our economy has to grow. And as we provide that opportunity, as we make those investments, as we also say, you know, for example, one of the I'm most excited about is the, you know, our technology incubators that we've started. We've started, you know, several, whether it's ComNexus, EvoNexus. These are about bright young San Diegans that are starting their companies here, need a little help, get off the ground, and then they have the ability to grow into larger companies that will employ more San Diegans. It's all about, you know, we have great education university systems here. We want people, once they graduate, to say, hey, you know what, there's going to be a job here for me. And I'm going to have that opportunity to get that job, which will then allow me to stay here and pay the rent, pay a mortgage, and create those economic opportunities. And I view that as one of the most important things that the next mayor is going to have to do. And that's why I think people are going to vote for me rather than some of the other folks.
Let me just tap on here for a moment, because one of the things I see, I think it's great. I think, you know, when I was growing up here in San Diego, I'm a native, you know, the whole lot, I mean, you had Convair, you had a lot of aerospace here, so you had a lot of middle-income jobs, and the cost of living and the cost of housing was reasonable then. You know, one of the problems I see in San Diego is sitting here from where I sit is that the cost of housing, even in areas like in Allied Gardens, where a two-bedroom, one-bath house is still $400,000 or $500,000, you know, that we, you know, how do, I mean, part of what hurts the middle class, I would argue, is the fact that they're house rich and money poor. If they have a house, they can't afford to spendable income. If they don't, they can't afford to get into one. And having high-paying jobs opens the door to help solve that problem, or reasonable jobs. But is there also something in terms of, you know, coming to having that what I call come to Jesus moment of saying, okay, maybe our housing costs are really out of line with the income levels, which we already know by statistic. How do we confront making a change when you look at downtown? Like Matt said earlier, you've got high rises that are half empty because nobody can afford to live in them. And you know, and now you've got all this. Our downtown is rife with high rises, hotels, and condominiums, but very little business structure.
You know, it's and great point, because when I've been on the council, one of the things that we've encouraged is development of particular affordable housing and workforce housing, and trying to get those closer to transit oriented stops, so people, you know, not only can you afford to actually live there, but then you have transportation opportunities as well. That is the key, and that is the future for future development in San Diego, without question. We have to not only construct those units that people can afford, but also make it easier to construct them in the first place. And one of the things that the city has done a very poor job is allowing these things to go through the process in a timely manner. And so one of the things I hear over and over again, and I'm going to make some significant changes in our development services department. So, you know, whether you're putting an addition onto your garage or whether you're wanting to build some affordable housing units, that you know you can get through the city's process and the city's bureaucracy in a time certain manner. Yeah. We don't have that right now. That slows us down, and time is money when we're looking to attract and putting these deals together, that we can provide that affordable housing and workforce housing. And so the mayor will have a lot of impact on that. And that's what, you know, having been not only on the council, but chairman of the city's audit committee, as we look at all of these departments on how they're doing or how they're not doing, that is one thing that I understand. We have to have a customer service attitude that will allow these type of things to work through the system. And I'm going to make some significant changes.
Can I ask one of them?
Yeah.
One of the things has to do with the idea of, like, and again, that's one of my biggest criticisms of the system in San Diego was, you know, we can't get our act together on a major airport. You know, I have family in Atlanta. I remember when Atlanta built that big airport, and everybody thought they were crazy. And as soon as they built that airport, the economic infrastructure of the city just took off. It's like, why is it that we can't seem, and I asked the same question last week, why is it we can't seem to get around our sort of mediocrity in our mindset to recognize that, you know what, if we build it, we open up the chance for our city to be a real international place that can have, that's a hub, instead of people having to hop to L.A. to go travel where they want to go, that they can fly out of San Diego from a major airport and that will create more jobs and more industry. Why is that? Not that we should abandon the one downtown. It's a great little airport. But the idea of saying that, hello, you know, people, we'll create more jobs for you, we'll get more infrastructure if you just give it a chance. But they keep closing the door to opportunity. Why is it we can't, you know, and I'm being very candid with you, why can't we say, you know, who's going to take on those tasks, like with the stadium too, you know, to say, hey, somebody's going to have the courage to say, you may not like this, you don't want to drink the Kool-Aid, but trust me, the Kool-Aid will not be as bad as you think if you give it a chance.
Yeah. Now, you know, and I think San Diego can get together, and we do on big projects, and that's one of the keys. So, you know, you look at the look at the airport now, you know, major investment on the Terminal 2 that just happened, and the number of them to make it more efficient, make it work better. And I think those changes are going to help. You know, and that just occurred a couple months ago.
Yeah.
That was very positive. You know, I was just at the Coastal Commission hearing last week, testifying on behalf of the second convention center expansion, another big project that's incredibly important from a job standpoint as well. Not only, you know, getting back to the tourism economy, folks come for conventions, they stay, and you know, it helps us all. But, you know, I was talking to Mark Cafferty, who's the executive director of the Regional Economic Development Corporation here in San Diego, and he was saying, you know what? What's often underlooked is that a lot of CEOs and people that start companies here want to invest in San Diego. They came here for a convention, and they saw that, and they said, hey, you know what? Hey, guess what? This is a great place.
Yeah.
I'd like to expand and do that. And so all of these things are dominoes on each other, and we have to realize this, you know, what are competitive advantages, and to promote that and take stands. That's why I was down at the Coastal Commission, even though the staff had said, they don't want to move forward on the convention. We went there in a bipartisan effort. We got that vote unanimously. That was a huge win for San Diego. You know, I also think the next mayor that you mentioned, the Charger Stadium, you know, the Chargers are an important asset. They're an important asset, you know, not just to the city, but to the region.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pride there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that is an issue. We have a lot of things that we're dealing with, you know, streets,
yeah.
sidewalks, infrastructure, more cops, you know, our economy. But we can do multiple things at once.
Yeah.
And I've said very clearly that from the Chargers' standpoint, the number one, two, and three issue has to be a financing plan that makes sense and protects taxpayers. I think if we can achieve that, then we can have some very positive discussions about that. And the next, and I plan to be involved in that.
Yeah.
So just last week, the Police Officers Association came out and they endorsed Fletcher. Where do you think, I mean, I suppose you would say, right, they missed the mark on understanding your perspective, I guess. What is the difference, and why do you think they endorse Fletcher over you?
You know, I've been very strong and upfront about some of the changes that we've needed to make, particularly when it comes to the city as our pension system. We've had to make some tough choices, and I'm known as a guy that stands up and gives it to them straight. Not everybody wants to hear that all the time. And at the same time, I tell you, and I've somebody who put out my police officer recruitment and retention program, I feel very strongly about that. And that's one of the things I'm going to continue to talk about. We're 130 officers short in the city of San Diego. And we need to have a mayor that is going to recognize that, particularly when it comes to our police department, we need to put attention there first. We cannot continue to treat every other employee group the same. That's one of the clear things that I'm going to be talking about. And when I'm mayor, people will see that as a difference. And in the meantime, you know, I'm not going to get a lot of the employee group support because I've had to make some very tough decisions about our tax dollars, and I'm going to continue to make it.
So you think that that's because you've been in local politics. You have more of a record, in a sense, that you're running on locally than Fletcher. I mean, he's been state politics, but he hasn't really dealt more directly with these kind of local issues, and because you have a record, is that what's hurting you? Whereas,
I think my record is a huge asset, and it's because it's one of those things that, you know, you may not agree with me on every single issue, but you're going to know where I stand, and I'm going to be up front, and I'm not afraid to say, hey, you know what? This is the best interest that we have to do right now for our city. If we need to save these dollars, we have to push this pension reform plan. You know, we had to put some of the other changes that we made. My job is to do what's best for everyone, our families and our neighborhoods. Sometimes the employee groups are going to support me, and oftentimes they haven't. But I think the changes that we've made have been demonstrably better for our city in the long term. We have dollars to reinvest in our, you know, in upgrading our fire stations, upgrading our police department. And that is, I think, one of the biggest difference between me and my opponents, that you're going to clearly know where I stand. I'm going to continue the reforms and the changes because we have to. If we don't do that, we're not going to have the dollars that we need to reinvest back in our neighborhoods. I will not allow us to slide backward into the behavior that got this city in trouble to begin with.
So if you had to tell a forensics artist, describe a typical San Diego voter, how do you describe them?
That is a great question. That's like, who's a typical?
that's
who you're going after.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, well,
you want to hit everybody, of course, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's typical. We're a big city. I mean, I don't know how you describe.
Well, because you think back to the '80s, and you think San Diego was really kind of a center right town. Yeah, it was were a lot of maybe some Reagan Democrats here, but it was a Republican oriented kind of city, you know, relatively conservative, but you know, kind of like beach conservatives, right? You know, they're open minded in a lot of other ways.
I think because we're such a big city, you know, from Bernardo to San Ysidro, you're going to always have very specific neighborhood concerns. That's part, you know, the elected mayor. You have to be shown as somebody who cares about the specific neighborhoods. But I think one of the things that cuts across, and we spent some time talking about this today, is people want the city to function and to work and to provide those services that it's supposed to. And so having a mayor that understands that is going to make those decisions that puts us back on track financially. It's something that affects every single neighborhood. And I think your typical voter understands that in San Diego more so now than ever because of the problems that we went through, particularly in the last 10 years when we were, you know, Enron by the sea, when we were under investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission. We didn't have a credit rating. We weren't able to do infrastructure. People remember that. And so I think San Diegans are actually much more savvy, if you will, about the need to do the right thing financially than probably folks in other cities who haven't yet faced what we faced, but will. And so I think the typical voter in San Diego wants a mayor that understands that and says, yeah, you know what, we're gonna put our neighborhoods first, and that's the big difference between me and my opponents.
Let me ask you a question in conjunction with that. How do you translate that message, which I think is a very important message, to the immigrants that live in, say, the 54th and El Cajon Boulevard area,
yeah,
or to the Barrio Logan group, or to the African Americans in Southeast San Diego? How do you convey that message so that they, you know, out of just sheer force of habit, you know, have maybe looking at one side of the aisle versus the other? How do you translate that so that they can synthesize your message?
Yeah, great question. We do it directly. We do it by, like, you know, talking like we're doing today. Out as, you know, we're going door to door this afternoon with over literally 100 people with that message. And it's a message that people understand, because I think we have so many, you know, hardworking San Diego families. They work very hard to make that paycheck every couple weeks. And they know that they're sending part of that paycheck to City Hall. And they expect when they send those dollars to City Hall that they're going to have a mayor that's going to look out after them and spend that money wisely. The last thing that they want to do is to say, oh, the problem's, you know, we need to send more money to City Hall. No, they want somebody that's going to make those changes and make those decisions so we can reinvest those dollars back into the neighborhoods. I think that's one of the reasons why Jerry Sanders was so successful. I'm proud to have his endorsement. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm going to be successful, is because we're going to be fair, but we're going to make sure that we're doing the right thing down at City Hall, protecting people's hard-earned dollars so we can reinvest those back into the neighborhoods. And I think that's a message that cuts across all demographics, but that message of economic opportunity and watching out where we're putting our dollars, I think that's something that people are very keenly interested in, particularly as we're, you know, just starting to come out of one of the worst recessions that we've ever had.
So what neighborhoods are you going to hit today?
You know, today we're all over. I know I just saw some of the packets we had.
No, where are you going to go?
Oh, I think today I'm in Claremont. So lots of running around, but it's fun.
You're going to wear those shoes to walk Claremont? You know, those look pretty nice. I'd love to see, like, the before and after picture.
I got my jeans and the shoes on. That was for another group I just gave a talk to. But, another thing on such a short campaign, I mean, I'm used to when I was running for council, I knocked on every single voter door in my council district. We did that over the course of a year.
Yeah.
We have 2 months now, and so I got a lot of friends out here helping me today. But there is no substitute to just going door to door and giving somebody some info about me, saying, hey, check out Kevin. Go to the website. You know, we have a pretty robust website with a lot of our plans, and we feel very strong on policy issues, but even more so just, you know, a guy that's been doing it for a number of years, really optimistic about this city. I wouldn't be running for this job if I wasn't. And so I think that's a message that's going to win at the end of the day.
I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. You got it.